I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4. Then after 4 o'clock, if you miss something, it's John and Ken on demand, the podcast. And you could listen to what you missed 24/7.
And in about 15 minutes or right about that, we're going to give out another keyword for your chance to win some money like we've been doing here on KFI. We'll do it again, of course, at 3:20 as well. Yesterday at this time, we had a guest who's coming back on because in between there was a Malibu City Council meeting last night. And a lot of residents showed up to say it's time to do something more than what we've done about this dangerous section of Pacific Coast Highway through Malibu. Last week, it's a week ago today, four young women were killed when a speeding 22-year-old lost control of his car and started hitting other cars and eventually hit them as they were standing by the side of the roadway, and they were all killed. So this is not the first time people have obviously raised concerns about the dangers of people speeding on this section of PCH, but the death of these four women have gotten people to say, now you've really got to do something that makes a difference. So let's bring back our guest from this time yesterday, Chris Wisner, to talk more about last night and where we go from here.
Chris, welcome again.
Well, hi, John and Ken, and thank you for having me back. I'm Chris Wisner. I run a marketing agency about to call Vivid Candy. And unfortunately, you know, I've lived and worked on PCH just a mile apart from my residence for 20-plus years. I've seen it all. I have never seen a city council meeting like last night. I have never seen so much media attention. I have never seen so many people speak. We had, you know, Lindsay Horvath was there in person speaking. Senator Ben Allen, I believe, called in and spoke to us. We heard from everyone. But you know who we didn't hear from? The number one entity responsible for this situation and all the negligence that's led to this. Not only this, the Emily Shane tragedy in 2010, and every single thing before that for decades. And that's Caltrans District 7. I don't know where they were yesterday. I'm so fueled that they weren't even there. They weren't there to pay their respects. They weren't there to say a word. They are the number one entity responsible.
They issued a statement to Channel 7. I don't know if you saw it, Chris.
No, I have not seen that yet.
Caltrans expresses condolences, blah, blah, blah. We've implemented numerous upgrades and safety enhancements to PCH from Santa Monica to Oxnard. Traffic signals, median delineators, raised center medians, crosswalks, high visibility lane striping, improved guardrails, pedestrian activated crosswalk beacons, including one at Will Rogers State Beach. And then they go on to say, we'll continue to coordinate with people. Do you like any of that?
Sounds like no offense. This sounds like a copy and paste of every time they've ever said something after a tragedy. It's no different. Sounds also like a CYA, cover your beep. And, you know, I want to see them actually present at city council. I want to see them talking to us, the people that are dealing with this, that deal with it every day and work with us as a collaborative effort. I don't see them getting involved.
That's I'm surprised. You're right.
They had a great PR agent.
Did anybody invite them from the city council?
Everybody in the entire community, everybody involved is openly invited. All the news is invited. Where were they? 100% I'm sure they know about
that. Well, if they really did what they claimed in that press release, they should explain how it's been effective. It doesn't seem to have mattered at all. It's really easy for an agency to promote a bunch of things that sound nice, but don't really make a difference when it comes to reducing the crashes and reducing the deaths.
Exactly, because look, they failed Malibu. They failed these girls. They failed 44 people the last decade since Emily Shane. 44 people, 44 lives. That doesn't include all the injuries and other accidents. It's not a highway at all. That was the other part of the talk there was it's a roadway or a boulevard, whatever you want to call it. But Caltrans can and should slow everyone down when they're business or residential zones. They can and should re-engineer the road using what I just heard is called quick build. It's something they could do in several months, not several years, several months.
What is that?
And after that, they could do a longer term handling of that situation.
What's the word you used?
Quick build. It's something I've just been learning about in the last 24 hours where they can make some immediate changes. They're necessary. For example, you know where Dead Man's Curve is. They could re-engineer a few things there. Like, for one, I heard from a resident there, Tina Siegel, who lives right there.
Oh, I know
her.
That
crosswalk that they put there is deadly. Why is there a crosswalk on the straightaway? Nobody actually stops for that. I had an ex-girlfriend who almost ran somebody over there while I was in the passenger seat. Nobody stops there when somebody crosses. There's so many things that they could re-engineer. They could slow it down over there immediately. I mean, the list goes on and on, but we need to see immediate actions of Caltrans District 7. We need to see their face at these city council meetings, at these task force. We need to feel that they are actually doing something that has an impact this time.
Do you know
a bulleted list from press, for whoever wrote that?
Have you ever encountered Tony Tavares? He's supposedly District 7 director. Because I found a website. Let me give you a few names here, because apparently Caltrans showed up at some event, and he is the director, Tony Tavares, and his leadership team is Gloria Roberts, the chief deputy district director, Barbara Marquez, a deputy district director for sustainability and innovation. And Bianca Rodriguez, Deputy District Director of External Affairs. I think these people have to be personally called in their offices, repeatedly contacted, because they're anonymous. They don't show up in public, and all they do is issue an anonymous press release. We need to know the people who ought to be implementing new policies, new changes there.
1,000%. I mean, the way I see it right now, and I'll repeat some words I said at the city council last night. Caltrans District 7 is a negligent dinosaur. They're prehistoric. They haven't changed. They haven't budged. They've had decades to solve these problems and make significant difference. And they haven't. And, you know, a press release from them, wonderful. I don't care. I want to see change. I care what you do, not what you say. We hear those words, and guess what? We'll be at another tragedy again in a matter of no time.
Well, because it's such a straightaway,
you know,
there's a lot of young guys who are driving really nice cars, and
of course
they're high on their own testosterone and maybe some other drugs too,
or coming out of a bar,
right? And so that road is designed to encourage those guys to show off, to go 100 miles an hour in their sports car. It's such a lure for that crowd, and I've seen plenty of them go flying by.
Oh, I see it every night. You know, Wednesday nights are very popular, 9 p.m. to midnight. You're going to hear people drag racing. They go over 100. They go 100 to 150. I've seen them go even higher than 150.
I saw that happen 24 hours after these poor girls passed.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't an accident, by the way. It was a collision, a crash, a fatality. And that's on Caltrans. They could have done many things. They've had decades. It's not happening fast enough. I really hope that they can collaborate with us, that they can collaborate with the city, the Chamber of Commerce, every entity, every resident that cares here, and they show their face as city council. For them not to be there last night, that alone was a disrespect. They should have been there.
In the last 4 years, they're saying more than 3,000 tickets were issued for speeding just in the last 4 years on that stretch.
Yeah, it's about 50% of, I think I heard a number around 6,300 tickets. There was a sergeant that repeated that last night.
Yeah, and he said on Sunday, an 18-year-old without a license was arrested for reckless driving at a speed of 109. That just happened Sunday.
I heard. And
it goes on every time my wife and I are on that road. We see these guys going 109 if they can. You know,
worst part, that girl knew. The officer asked her if she knew about this tragedy, and she did. Wow. I mean, can you just imagine? It hasn't changed. So look, Caltrans has they are the sole entity that can make people slow down on PCH.
So they're going to have to,
and that will make it safer.
They're going to have to physically redesign the road because obviously those tragedies don't bother these kids. And the speed cameras, the tickets don't bother them either. So you need the road to be reconstructed in a way so you simply can't go that fast.
100%. And it truly is a collection of solutions, though. Caltrans is the biggest part of all of it. That's why I'm focused on that. But we need education. We need the speed cameras. But that might take a year or two at most. I mean, at the fastest to get that. We know that. So right now, the immediate solution is Caltrans District 7. They've got to be held accountable. They've got to show their face. They've got to do something. They've got to collaborate with the city. We're here to help them if they're willing to collaborate with us. But if they do nothing, they might as well have driven the car themselves that hurt those four girls. And two of them I knew personally, and I'm heartbroken. And Asha Weir, God, my heart goes out to her and her family. She was one of my favorite people I've ever employed, and I worked with her for nearly 2 years. Talked to her every single week. She was going to babysit my 3.5-month-old daughter right before this happened, 6 days before. And that's just how good of a soul she was. She didn't deserve this. And you know her name? I found out the memorial from her mom. Her mom spoke about her name. Her name, Asha, meant hope. Well, I hope Caltrans District 7 hears this. I hope they can make some quick build changes. I hope they can slow down traffic. Because those girls, those four girls, and everyone before them should not have passed in vain. Those weren't accidents. They were preventable. And there's something that could have been done. And slower speeds would have done it. And then you combine every other solution, and you have it. You know, I really do think we can get to a safe PCH.
All right,
and
Chris.
I mean safe, not safer.
All right, we'll check in with you again, but thanks for coming on once again.
Thank you, Jonathan.
All right, that's Chris Wisner, a Malibu resident we had on yesterday and attended last night's city council meeting. It says here, by night's end, they voted unanimously to ask staff for a report and to consider a motion to declare an emergency, which would free up resources. I
found the names of these Caltrans District 7 leadership team members. It was on a website.
Such a corporate thing, leadership team members.
It was on a website called, the organization is called WTS. It's some kind of, their slogan is Advancing Women, Advancing Transportation. So it's some kind of women's organization involved in transportation. I really can't figure this out. But anyway, so in January 27th of 2021, they had a lunch program, and Tony Tavares, who is the director of District 7 for Caltrans, was the main speaker, and his lieutenants were there. And he spoke on transportation equity.
That's what they get distracted by.
Yeah, he answered questions from the attendees about hiring, sustainability.
It's more important that we have diversity than a safe PCH in Malibu.
All these nonsense, garbage, woke buzzwords. Apparently nothing about PCH being a death trap for decades. But as long as we have equity, in fact, you know, as long as there's not a
Caltrans is too white. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. As long as we don't have a disproportionate number of car accident victims belonging to one demographic or another, then everything's cool.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's where we are, isn't it?
This is what they waste their time on. So if you have like an hour and a half for a luncheon and you're going to talk about something, why would you talk about sustainability and diversity and equity and not what does it take to redesign PCH through Malibu so you don't have dozens of people dying every year? Tony Tavares. That's who you ought to direct all your communications to. District
Tony
7.
Tavares. All right. That's a good name to hang on to. Right, when we return, you have a chance to win some money. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right. Well, last week we told you that America's safest city for like the 18th year in a row was Irvine. And then I just saw a story that there was some nasty soccer game brawl. Did you see that story? A soccer match?
No, in Irvine?
Yeah, there was. The police had to come. There was fights. It was really nasty. sports does that to people. Wallet Hub is another one of these. It's a personal finance company. They put out the safest city in America. 182 cities in the U.S., 41 safety-related metrics. Number of mass shootings, assaults per capita, traffic fatalities. They crunched this all into three categories: home and community safety, natural disaster risk, and financial safety. So the reason we're talking about this is to talk about the California cities on the list. And of course, the highest ranked and safest California city is Irvine. Now we move in the other direction.
Big cities are in the toilet.
Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, and Sacramento, very low on the list. L.A. was 174th. San Francisco, 153rd. Oh, San Francisco did a bit better.
174 out of 182 cities they looked at. We're eighth from the bottom for safety in L.A.
But the lowest ranked California city on the list was San Bernardino. And I think that's happened before.
180th spot.
Yes, and this, again, would be bigger cities. You can't be a small town or something like that to be evaluated.
So was this Karen Bass's vision? To be 8th from the bottom on the safest cities list?
San Diego was 69th, which isn't great, but it's certainly better than 174th or 153.
And I bet you if you called up her office, their press people would say, Mayor Bass holds Angelino's safety as the highest priority in her administration. 174th.
The safest city in America is Nashua, New Hampshire. Woohoo! Let's all run there.
Yeah, it's very, very pretty up in New Hampshire.
It's
nice there. Did you see Deborah's?
And I heard today also that you want to be in New England states like Maine, Vermont, if you have medical problems, because they have the highest in terms of per capita population. They have a lot of medical coverage.
Well, I have a good friend, and he's in finance, so he can work wherever he wants. And he now moves to Maine for 6 months out of the year until it gets cold.
You know, I met somebody else that does that, too, from the Bay Area that lives in Maine like half the year.
May to October, life is great in Maine. And then it starts getting cold and snowy, and you come back here. Doesn't miss L.A. at all. Not a whit.
No. Other cities appearing in the top 10 include Columbia, Maryland, South Burlington, Vermont. Look at that, another New England city. Then you get Gilbert, Arizona. I don't even know most of these places. Warwick, Rhode Island, I've heard of, and Portland, Maine. There's another New England city, Portland, Maine.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how long do I have to scroll before I see any California city in the top. I don't see. Oh, Glendale, number 47.
There you go.
Irvine was 33, by the way, but then we get to Glendale.
Yeah, and if you just drive into Glendale, they keep it clean.
And then Rancho Cucamonga is 51. There you go. Chula Vista, 54. So a few California cities, and Santa Clarita begins to show up.
Right, because they scrape the homeless up off the street.
Oxnard and Oceanside, all in the top. Huntington Beach in the top 70. Anyway, all right, when we come back, the latest concerning the Middle East, Israel, Hamas. We'll begin with an alarming story. Customs and Border Patrol has put out a memo. There are concerns that here they come at our U.S. border, Hamas and Hezbollah.
Yeah, maybe they came already.
We'll start with that. Maybe they came already. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
On the radio from 1 until 4, and if you missed something, I just heard from someone I know.
Yeah?
Who missed something. And I wrote back, and I say, the iHeartRadio app. John and Ken on demand.
No, let's just go back and rewind the show right now.
That's right.
What did they want to hear?
Huh? The Long Beach story about the woman who got tackled.
Right. Sexually assaulted by a vagrant with his pants down.
Guy lives in Long Beach, and he actually sent me a link and saying, you know about this? And I said, well, we already did it. Listen to the app.
See, that's how it works. Right. That was about an hour ago. So there you go. All right. You can also connect to the voice line using the app. We collect those calls for Friday Play. Use the microphone icon or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. The term is special interest aliens, people from countries identified by the U.S. government as having conditions that promote or protect terrorism or potentially pose some sort of national security threat to the United States. The Department of Homeland Security is closely monitoring unfolding events, obviously, in what's going on in Israel. And today we've learned that Customs and Border Patrol has put out a memo with a caution for the possibility that Hamas and Hezbollah fighters might try to enter the United States through our incredibly open southern border.
I want to read this memo.
It's yes,
unofficial Border Patrol stationery. Very colorful.
The San Diego Field Office's intelligence unit, it says.
Yes, and in big blue capital letters, situational awareness.
Oh.
Because a lot of people say, well, what am I supposed to do? The government lets Hezbollah and Hamas terrorists in. What am I supposed to do? Situational awareness. Foreign fighters of Israel-Hamas conflict may potentially be encountered at southwest border. San Diego Field Office Intelligence Unit assesses that individuals inspired by or reacting to the current conflict may attempt to travel to or from the area of hostilities in the Middle East via circuitous transit across the southwest border.
Circuitous, right?
Foreign fighters motivated by ideology or mercenary soldiers of fortune may attempt to obfuscate travel to and from the U.S. or from countries in the Middle East through Mexico. And they might be... They're military-age males wearing military gear, weapons, camouflage, insignia patches of belligerence, single travelers. They have an undetermined return plan and some association to Israel or the Palestinian lands.
But they don't want you to racially profile. Don't do that.
Doesn't say that.
Just look for what they're wearing or carrying and their belligerent behavior. No, it doesn't say that, but I'm just adding the government disclaimer.
Look for their belligerent behavior.
That's right. If they seem angry and they're trying to get into the U.S., well, that's it takes some caution.
Hamas, Hezbollah, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, or any other similar groups.
Wow.
So you've been warned. By the way, they didn't stop any of these people. They just waved them on through. It's up to us to have situational awareness. I don't know what we're supposed to do.
See a guy walking down the street with the patches and insignias and a gun.
Well, are you with Palestinian Jihad? What am I supposed to do now?
See something, say something.
to the board. Yeah, call the Border Patrol. Hey, we found the guys.
Again, they released data on Saturday that showed that there were a record number, 169 people encountered by Border Patrol agents at the southern border who were on the terror watch list in fiscal year 23.
You know what's fascinating?
Surpassing the numbers encountered in the last six fiscal years combined. It's a numbers game. Biden's letting all these people in. There's going to be more of the bad people.
But it's amazing how committed they are to their ideological religion. It doesn't matter how bad it gets, right? We got 100,000 people dying of fentanyl. Keep waving them across. Yeah, keep coming.
It's a humanitarian crisis, John.
We got 70,000 people whacked out on meth in L.A. Keep coming.
Got terrorists around the world that might want to come and kill us.
Yeah, keep right. Hamas? Are you guys with Hamas? Hezbollah? Palestinian Jihad? Come on. I mean, there's no... Oh, you just want to come and lay on the streets of New York? Fine. Separate line for you. Nothing convinces this wacko, psycho Biden crowd, the staffers in the White House who are actually running these policies, nothing sways them at all. They're going to destroy the country, and we're not going to stop them.
Meanwhile, from the Nutty Files, we have this Michigan Democrat Congresswoman, Rashida Tlaib, who apparently is still... is still pushing the theory that it was an Israeli rocket that hit that hospital in Gaza. Yeah. She will not back down. I cannot uncritically accept Israel's denials of responsibility as fact. I want an independent investigation.
She is the new Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Really, she's the Alex Jones for this woke progressive crowd. There's no difference. It's the same person.
What is wrong with these people?
They're mentally ill. They're psycho.
Well,
I got to send you this article. You remember Christopher Rufo? We've had him on a few times.
Yes.
He identified them as suffering from a cluster B personality disorder.
Oh wow.
Oh, I'll send it to you. We should talk about it. It's one of those articles you read it and it explains everything. It's in line with what Michael Schellenberger wrote a few weeks ago.
I was going to say he had something like that in his writing.
Yeah, it's become pretty clear what this is because they all act the same. They act hysterical, right? They're screaming, they're crying, they have delusions of grandiosity. It's just a classic mental illness that's been around since the beginning of time.
All right. Now we have some audio to play. This is from BBC News, and this is one of the hostages that was released yesterday, an 85-year-old grandmother. One of two hostages released by Hamas on Monday, and the BBC's got her mother, her daughter rather, translating her ordeal after Hamas kidnapped her. Let's listen.
My mom is telling the horrific stories. She's saying that many, many people, a swarm of people, came through the fence. The defense cost $2.5 billion, and it didn't help even a little bit. My mom is saying that she was taken on the back of a motorbike with her body, with her legs on one side and her head on another side. That she was taken through the plowed fields with a man in front on one side and a man behind her. And that while she was being taken, she was hit by sticks by Shabab. Yeah, Shabab people. Until they reached the tunnels. There they walked for a few kilometers on the wet ground. There are a huge, huge network of tunnels underneath. It looks like a spider web. My mom is talking about coming there. When they arrived into a large hall. 25 hostages were gathered. After 2-3 hours, those hostages, five of them, she among them, were taken into a separate room. My mom is saying that they were very friendly towards them, and that they took care of them, that they were given the medicine. Slicha. that they were given medicine, and they were treated. One of the men with them had badly injured from a motorbike accident on the way, and the paramedic was looking after his wounds. He was given medicine and antibiotics. That the people were friendly, that they kept the place very clean.
Yeah, they took care of her.
Concerned about them.
All right, very good.
Yeah,
her husband that they were... is still a hostage too.
The 85-year-old woman's husband?
Yes.
Did she mention that?
Wow.
No, but it's been reported that her husband is still a captive.
Oh. She says they were greeted by people who said, "We believe in the Quran and we promise not to hurt you."
Okay.
But I mean, ride in there on motorbikes, you grab an 85-year-old and throw her on the back. It's like,
right. Sorry about the beheaded babies, but we'll make you dinner.
All right. We'll return. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
On the radio 1 till 4 after 4 o'clock, John and Ken on demand, the podcast.
Well, coming up after 3 o'clock, I don't see what's wrong, but the L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon has announced with much dramatic flair that they're going to investigate hotels hiring migrants. I thought that's the idea. They come to America for jobs. We should be supportive.
They want to work.
They do.
And Gascon won't let them work.
Oh, because the unions are involved and they could be replacing striking workers.
Gascon is anti-immigrant.
That's right.
He is xenophobic.
We'll get into the details of this after the news at 3 o'clock. You probably heard that a number of states, including California, are suing Meta for the social media effect on young people. In that regard, we bring you this story, a bizarre one, but maybe not unexpected. From a problem at Anaheim schools, where apparently kids are whipping out their phones in locker rooms and taking photos and posting them to social media. Here's the report from Fox 11's Christina Gonzalez.
This parent doesn't want her face on camera. She describes images of students from Anaheim's Ball Junior High seemingly taken by other students and posted on social media. She also shows us images of fights and describes others.
Young girl, change issues in her undergarments, and it's bad.
Bad enough, she notified law enforcement and the school. The district sent out a letter to parents saying, in part, quote, "We collaborated with law enforcement to report the posts to Instagram, resulting in one of the posts' swift removal," adding they are monitoring and working with law enforcement to find who is responsible.
The photos were not deleted. They were still posted. And sometime over the weekend, the main offending account went private.
She wants more from the school.
I think that's the statement that they sent out is a little vague. I think that they need to state that your children are being photographed, changing in the locker room, and there's a possibility that there could be worse photos floating around.
The school says they are adding classroom presentations about the seriousness of privacy issues.
And I think the only way to resolve this is to flat out ban phones on campus.
And that's not necessarily something the school's looking at. If you want to find out what they're doing, we put their full statement to parents on our website at foxla.com. Anaheim police confirming they are looking at these pictures and there is an ongoing investigation.
Well, you know, that's one way to get likes, right? Post a picture of kids half nude in the locker room.
You know, they ought to ban phones from schools, and they should have done it 15 years ago, period.
Yeah. Yeah. Some schools make you put them in pouches when you come to class. Really.
And kids went to school for hundreds of years without phones. There's no necessity for it at all.
And it's funny you said that because I heard a reporter say today, but there are some parents who are concerned because they want to be able to contact their child in case of an emergency. And I said, well, what happened in the days before all these cell phones?
Yeah, it's funny.
Right? They figured out a way to get contact with you. I remember when my grandmother died, my mother called the school and they came to the classroom. They took me out. Didn't take long.
Somebody comes from the front office. And in fact, when you saw somebody at the door, you knew something bad had happened.
Bad happened, right.
You know, some vice principal shows up and that's the bad news visit. No, you don't need phones. And parents should stay out of their kids' lives, first of all, when they go to school. And so many kids watch their phones and teachers have given up. They let the kids will prop open a book and they have the phone nestled inside and they're watching videos.
Yeah, I just saw a story the other day that you should not give your child a phone until they're in at least eighth grade. And that's one of the reasons. Basically, all they do is watch videos and play games.
Right.
And there's something about the brain and they keep the notifications that keep dinging.
Uh-huh. Right.
That kids can get hundreds a day.
It's an addiction. And you want to see the notification or the new text message or the new social media message because it gives you a little jolt. It gives a little jolt of dopamine in your brain. So you have to not even bring the phone into the school. It's terribly disruptive. And the schools are so cowardly. And the parents, you know, are so hysterical. It's like, oh, what if there's an emergency? Stop it. All right. There's no emergency. 99.9% of the time.
I have to constantly be in touch with my child. Yes. Don't you know?
I have to helicopter. Well, I need to helicopter. I need the phone. What am I going to do? My runners are going to fly off.
I know a couple of parents and some of their kids are older. They have the tracker, so they know where they'll say to me, "Oh yeah, they're right now. They're downtown right now." I'm like, "What? You're tracking using their phone to track where they are."
My kids did not want any part of a tracker.
When I started driving, I had to text my parents when I was leaving and when I got to my destination.
All right, well, that's because you're driving and you were a new driver. They were nervous about that, but they don't track you everywhere else you went, did they?
No. I don't have any sort of location sharing with anybody. If I want you to know where I'm at, I will tell you where I'm at.
Yeah, I think that's what a rational person does.
No, but all my friends, like, and I understand with girls it's a little bit different for safety reasons when they share locations with their friends if they're going out on a date with a guy they've never met before or something like that. But I have so many of my friends that use the Find My Friends app on the iPhone where they just share locations with someone. And I'll just ask, like, I'm hanging out with some friends. I'll just be like, oh, what's so-and-so up to? They'll just go on their phone, check their location, and be like, oh, they're at home. And it's just like, what? So why would you share your location with somebody?
Yeah,
I don't want you to know where I am.
That's right. Leave me alone. That would be my message. Go away.
Coming up next. Well, it looks like there's going to be an investigation into the fact that it appears L.A. hotels have been struck by workers might be looking for migrants down at Skid Row and hiring them to work at the hotels. I think it's wonderful they've come to this country, the opportunity to be employed.
They came to work.
Johnny Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And we have Sandy Wells live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.